11th, required meeting for the Title and Escrow Commission. We're doing it solely by teleconference. We will start out with a roll call. Let's start with the members of the board. I know Randy's here, Allison's here, Nancy's here. Darla or Chase, are you on?
Darla's here. Hi, guys.
Hi, Darla.
Hi, Darla.
Okay, looks like we're still waiting for Chase. With the department, I've got Randy Overstreet, Michael Covington, Reed Stringham, Steve Gooch, Adam Martin. Are there any others?
Tracy Klein, your department.
Yes, Nancy, Commissioner Kaiser's on the line, too.
And Nancy, Perry Babelis is here.
Thanks, Perry. Nice to see you. Thanks, Commissioner, for joining us. And Tracy, I got you as well. Before we go on to have anybody from the public who is joining us, we'll take a roll call. Hope you'll just be patient with each other. Let's remember to mute our phones. Either do it from your cell phones, or you can push star six. So we're ready for those names of anyone else who has joined this call.
Nancy, you got myself, right?
I did get Carol, thank you. Anybody else?
This is Chase Phillips. I just...
Oh, good morning, Chase.
Morning. Sorry to speak over you, James.
Is that James Seaman?
Yeah.
Okay.
Nancy, this is Jessica Goodman.
Okay, we've got Jessica Goodman. Thanks, Jess.
I heard Wade say his name behind Jess as well. At least I thought I did.
Yeah, I heard him, too, Chase.
You did.
Okay, I think we have a lot more than that, because the phone was chiming, but...
People may need to unmute themselves as well. Because if...
Oh, that's true. Maybe I said mute phones a little bit too soon. If you want to unmute your phone and tell us that you're here, we're happy to put it in the minutes. If not, we'll get on with it. First order of business is to adopt the minutes of the previous meeting. The previous meeting was actually our last, the last meeting was February. Let's review those minutes. And when you're ready, if we can have a motion to approve in a second. And when you give your motions and approve seconds during this meeting, if you could just give your first name, then Steve can put that down.
Hi. Nancy, this is Chase, and I'll make a motion to adopt the minutes.
I second that motion. This is Darla.
Thank you. All in favor, say aye.
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 Thank you. Okay, we will go on to the concurrence report with Reed Stringham with the licensing, and then Michael with the quarterly continuing education report.
Yeah, as far as the licensing reports go, you have them in front of you. You've had them before the meeting. Hopefully, you've had a chance to look at them. I didn't see anything remarkable. Randy, was there anything remarkable that you needed to comment on in those reports?
Well, there's maybe one small thing that you might want to note. In the April report, you notice under, for individual licensees, there's kind of a new coding there, you know, where it shows the line of authority. And it usually has TE, you know, for title, escrow, TS or a TMR. You'll see for April it has a TTMR. What that stands for is a temporary title marketing rep. So it's a temporary license, and we'll get into that later. But I just wanted to point out that coding for the, for April on the individual license. It shows a different code, which stands for temporary.
Thank you, Randy.
Thank you, Randy.
You're welcome.
Reed, this is Nancy. I do have one question. For the new companies that have come on during March, April, and May, do we know if any of those designated that they are ABAs? Are we collecting that information on these new companies?
We don't. No, we're not. We don't have any authority to do that.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Can I get a motion to concur with the licensing?
This is Randy. So moved.
This is Allison. I'll second.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Thank you. And then moving on to the quarterly continuing education report.
Hi, it's Michael. I'm just looking over my report too. One thing I want to point out that has really changed with this COVID-19, and it's actually given me more audits of webinars more than ever. I'm filling up my calendar as much as I can and taking advantage of it. So people are asking me about classroom courses, and for the title world, there's some of the computer classes that are on, you know, that are online computer wise that would count as classroom. They probably fall more into the ethics category, but webinars have been approved for a long time, but now they've really taken off. And so if people ask, those are definitely available. If there's two criteria to hold a webinar, and it consists of, if you are you're keeping track of who's out there, sending out polling questions, they work really well. So something to throw out there.
Okay, great. Along those lines, Michael, back in February, you talked about the need for pre-licensing.
Yes, thank you. Yes.
Remember that?
I do.
And the ULTA heard your plea, and the education chair, Jessica Goodman, has actually put together, they are in the process right now of recording 6 hours with six different presenters, and they are almost finished with at least 6 hours of pre-licensing. And my question to you is, they have heard from title agencies whose their employees are telling them that the test is not necessarily sticking with the outline. And so we're wondering, or ULTA Education Chair is wondering, if it is possible for them to get a copy of the content of the test so that they can make sure they are complying with it with these presentations. Is that possible?
I can send them the link to the licensing bulletin, which is on our website, but I'm happy to, and I know Jessica's on the call, I can send her the link to the test bulletin for Prometric, and then you would go down to the page. It has all of the test content, Life Health, PNC, including title and that kind of thing as well. So I can email that.
Okay. That would be
great. Thank you, Michael. I have all that. We were just wondering, we just got feedback that it just seems that sometimes they're asking, and it could be just the wording of the questions on the test is all. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
Sure.
Does anyone have any other questions about Michael's report?
I don't.
Okay.
I'm glad to hear there's courses being approved, though. That's great.
I'm just as busy as ever.
That is great to hear. Could we have a concurrence and a second with the quarterly continuing education report?
This is Allison. I'll make a motion to concur with the licensing or the education report.
This is Darla. I'll second it.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Thank you. Thank you, Reed. Thank you, Michael.
Thanks, you
Thank
guys.
You, Nancy.
Okay. Perry, are there any board duties or responsibilities that we need to review?
No. I think that, you know, the next time we we see each other face-to-face, we might want to do some updated training on the Open Meetings Act, but assuming we meet soon, that would be nice. If not, let me know, and I'll try to put something together over the phone.
Okay, that sounds great. Let's move on to the update on 2020 goals. The ULTA report is sparse because we have not been meeting, so I have not had a lot to share with them, but I have been going to their meetings monthly, and the focus, we've already basically discussed it, is that they are putting together pre-licensing to help the Department of Insurance and to help those out there that are interested in getting their license. And then today, I will meet with them at noon today and report back next month. Darla, do you have anything to report? Has the Real Estate Commission been meeting?
The Real Estate Commission has been meeting. They've been doing it online, but they have had monthly meetings. Their caseload has been going down pretty steadily. In January, they began with 520 cases, went down to 495 in February, then 465 in March. Their complaints also have been going down from 19 to 13, and they've closed roughly, I don't know, maybe 110 cases over the past 3 months. And then total AG cases, they've got 13 from January, 11 from February, 12 from March. The rest of their meetings have just been, you know, again, concentrating on the enforcement and licensing procedures with the Real Estate Commission.
Thank you, Darla. Appreciate that information. Anyone else have any other comments on our 2020 goals? Yeah.
Nancy, with the pre-licensing, is the ULTA, are they going to charge for that, or is it going to be free for members, or how are they going to offer that?
I think they are still ironing that out. I will probably learn more about that today, and I will let you know.
Good deal. I think that's fantastic. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, and there'll be webinars available. They're doing a great job. I've listened to one of them, and it was really good. And so
That's
I think
awesome.
This will be beneficial for all. And thanks, Allison. Okay, new business. Randy, let's discuss this temporary licensing procedure.
Okay. The testing vendors, of which Prometric is the one that we have contracted with that we have now, but as well as the others, PSI and Pearson View, the primary ones that cover almost all the states in the U.S. Anyway, they had closed down their testing sites for offering testing due to the COVID-19. There's and some of them are starting to open some of the sites now, but there's an order that was attached that you received and hopefully have looked over, the order 2020-1, which addresses this, that while the testing and the testing is still currently not available in Utah for insurance license testing. And while that testing is not available, nor is the fingerprinting available, which we've contracted with Prometric also to handle the fingerprinting for Utah insurance license applicants. And that's not available at their test sites. And so in the meantime, we've offered beginning April 23rd is when they first became available, this temporary license for individual producers. And that's just for a resident license, of which title is only resident anyway. Well, let's see, Bale's resident only. Title is primarily resident, but there are some non-residents that license. Anyway, this order, there's a couple things to point out in it. They're not eligible for a non-resident license in another state based on holding a temporary license here, and that's how most of them are doing that across the country. The temporary licensee, since there's no testing available, we still want to make sure that they are somewhat competent and understand the, for whatever lines of authority they're going to try to be marketing or selling. And so they're required to complete 40 hours of training. They're required to be supervised by a licensed individual within the agency, and that they would be required to have an agency or an insurance company. And in case of title, of course, it would be through an agency. Title agency that would be sponsoring that licensee. And you can see on this, on the third page of the, it's attached to the order, there's a certification form, a compliance form that needs to be completed and signed by an owner, a partner, officer, or DRLP, designated license responsible producer for that agency. They would put their name in, they would put in the name of the applicant, and they would attest that the applicant has, that they will be the sponsoring agency. During that temporary license period, which could be for a maximum of up to 180 days, during that temporary license period, they'd be supervised on the job by an individual, and they're attesting also that if that temporary licensed individual leaves the agency, or if the agency terminates that relationship, they would need to notify the department immediately, at which time the department could then take down that license, because they're only able to operate through representing that particular agency and any companies that the agency is appointed with. They attest that they've completed the 40 hours of training. They didn't sign it, and anyway, so that's a little bit different than the normal procedure, basically. There's no fingerprinting, and there's no, but we do, and they apply electronically through, they can go into CIRCON and apply electronically for the application the same way. It's the same cost for the license as it was for a license previously, for a permanent license. It's the same fee for the temporary license, even though it only is good for 6 months. And since we're not doing fingerprinting, we still do check the on the Utah Courts Exchange. We go in electronically and check for any criminal activity that we might find in the court, in the Utah court systems, although it doesn't have the full countrywide FBI background check. But with that, and with them being required to take 40 hours of training in the line of authority they're trying to sell for, and that they'll be supervised by a licensed responsible person and have a responsible sponsoring agency, we feel pretty good about offering that temporary license for those people. And then at such time that the testing and fingerprinting becomes available, and they can then apply, and they would need again to pay for the fee for the permanent license and be fingerprinted and tested at that time in order to get the permanent license, and then we would, upon getting a permanent license, we would discontinue their temporary license, or it would expire at the end of a six-month period. And is there any questions anybody has? It's basically a similar process, other than the certification that's required, and that they're not fingerprinted or tested yet, but that they do have the required training.
Can a member of the public ask a question?
I do have a couple questions.
Okay.
Sure. Go ahead, James.
The 40 hours of training, what will comply with that? Is on-the-job training sufficient if they've been with your company for a substantial amount of time?
Well, 40 hours of training in the line of authority that's being sought, so we don't have any particular specified requirements for what that training consists of, but if the if an officer or designated responsible licensed individual is responsible, that's the responsible person for compliance of that agency with Utah statutes and rules and things. If somebody's willing to certify that they've been trained for 40 hours in the line of insurance that they're being tested in, then we would accept that. We're not saying they have to complete certain courses or pass any certain tests or anything like that. So, yeah, I would say since we're not really following up on what that is, we leave it up to the agency to just ensure that they're getting proper training and that they're so they can qualify in that line.
So this one-page document is all that you are requiring? No backup certification at all, just this one page. Correct.
Well, I mean, there is the license application that they need to complete online.
Right.
On the license application, it has certain questions, you know, yes, no answers, and like with regard to their backgrounds and criminal histories and stuff. And it does state in there, if you answer yes, you know, there might be certain documents that are required. So, I mean, there could be other things, just like with a regular license application, that are required to be submitted along with the application. But otherwise, this is the only additional, yes, this form is the only additional thing that's required in it, outside of what would normally be required in a license application.
And Randy, this is Allison. Did I understand right? This is only good for, this temporary license is only good for 6 months.
Yeah.
And they still have to take the test and everything, right? I mean, this is only good for 6 months. So the person has to go through and do 40 hours of training, you know, whatever that, or their supervisor has to sign off that they've done 40 hours of training. This temporary license is only good for 6 months, and then they still have to go through and take the test, just like all the rest of the licensees had to do at some point, right?
Correct. And that,
okay,
that 180 days, or basically 6 months, that kind of went along with a national standard of what was recommended by the National Association of Insurance Commissioners, that almost all states that are setting up these temporary licenses are in coordination with, and they're all offering these 6 month ones. Now, if this pandemic continues going on, and you know, we'll have to address. I mean, the way the order is written, yeah, I don't know if there would be any amended one if we ever decide at some point that it needs to go longer than 6 months for some reason. But I guess it was anticipated that only 6 months would be needed, and that the testing and fingerprinting would become available. So hopefully that will all happen. If there's anything else that needs to be amended or something, that would be addressed later. But yes, currently it's just for 6 months.
All right.
Thank you, Randy. And question, this is Nancy. Say Prometrics opens up in July, would you rescind this order at that point, or would it just stay there?
Well, actually, just so you know, in case you may get some rumors or misunderstandings out there or anything anyway, Prometric actually has opened up effective May 1st. Mm-hmm. They're offering testing in the Utah locations, but they don't have fingerprinting available yet. So they are testing for some other non-insurance license-related exams for other people they may be contracted with for some other divisions or something, or types of tests. I don't know exactly who they're contracted with. It could be cosmetology or, you know, for medical or for real estate or whoever they're doing their testing for. They are offering other tests, but not insurance, because we've asked them to not open up for insurance testing until they're able to do the fingerprinting at those locations, because we don't want to give permanent licenses to somebody that's passed the test but hasn't yet been fingerprinted. Sometimes the question may come up, well, why don't they run down and get their own fingerprints taken at the public safety or something? But our fingerprinting is done by Patrick. One, we've contracted with them to provide the fingerprinting for our department, for the licensed candidates. And also the way that we've set up the system, we collect the digital fingerprints and forward them electronically over to the BCI and FBI. It goes to BCI, and then BCI forwards on the FBI. And we receive the background check results electronically from BCI after they get them back from FBI, and then also they do the statewide one. And it all comes in electronically to us, where we can see any criminal history backgrounds that show up. And then the BCI and FBI fingerprint fees are collected electronically as part of the CIRCON, as part of the electronic application when they apply through CIRCON. And then we get billed once a month by the BCI. Our administration division, you know, it coordinates and matches up and to see how many fingerprints were taken, what the fees are and all that. Anyway, everything gets sent back over to the BCI as far as the payment of that were billed from them. And so the way the system's set up, they need to go to the Prometric, since they're already, when they apply for the license, it's collecting the fee. We're contracted with them to do it. We just have to wait for them to be able to. They've worked out the social distancing issues with regard to being able to offer on a more limited basis, because they're not opening up all of their different desks for testing, and so it's still more limited, and it prolongs those that get tested at the test center, not for insurance, but even so, only about half of their desks are available, and it stretches it out where at some states where they're starting to offer insurance testing, where you may have been able to get in within a couple of weeks, they're now stretching out to where it might be a couple of months, even when you try to schedule the exam until they're tested. So, in part to answer the question as to once the test center opens up and they can do fingerprinting and testing, would it be immediately? The plan is that once it's available for permanent licensing, that we're no longer issuing temporary licenses. But as far as canceling those that we already have, there could be a little bit of a, because it may take them a little while to be able to go in and get the new permanent license. We don't want to suddenly, on the day that the test opens, cancel all the permanent licenses, and then they can't get back in to be tested for 2 months, so then they're stuck with no license. So we'll work out and be workable with people that are looking to get a permanent license at the time that it becomes available, and allowing them to still use their temporary licenses in the meantime. Did I answer
Thank you, Randy.
All your questions? Probably more than I needed to say.
No, you did great. I just think it's going to be very important going forward that we make it really clear with title agencies, so that the department does not get one of these forms where someone's gone through 40 hours and they want a temporary license, and your response is, "Oh, we're not doing that anymore." We'll just need to make sure we're very clear with everyone that they know what you're doing.
That's a good point. Thank you.
Well, thank you. So what do you need from us? Do we have to approve? Do we, the procedure, or you were just letting us know?
Reporting. We're just looking to report this to you. It's already ongoing now. We do have one that applied in during that last week of of April. So there was, on the last report, there is one temporary license that, that showed up on that report, and there'll be more showing up now for this next quarter. And so it's already in place. We're just reporting to you, just to inform you. Not looking
Thank you.
For, not really looking for necessarily a anything, as far as I'm aware, unless unless legal knows that they want to have some concurrence or something.
Thank you. I just didn't know if we had to do any motions. Is this across the board for all insurance lines?
Yes, for all for when you say insurance lines, for all producer individual resident producer licenses, for all lines of insurance pertaining to a producer license. It doesn't apply to other types of licenses. Just a temporary producer license type, which would include title, which would include auto, health, life, PNC, all that. But I mean, it's not for a temporary adjuster license, temporary reinsurance intermediary, any other type of license for an individual other than an individual producer license, including title.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate that, Randy. Is there any, does anyone have any old business that we need to go over? We don't have anything on the agenda, but I don't, if anyone has anything, anyone on the commission have anything that you want to. Okay.
So I wanted to follow up with from old business back in February. I just wanted to make sure Reed had talked with us going way back about the Utah Insurance Department that had proposed eliminating the requirements for the filed minimum escrow charges. And if you read through the notes there, it talks about that Reed may need someone to potentially testify from within the industry within a case that they had going on from somebody who had not filed their rates with for 3 years. It just simply said that in the notes he would like to have someone ready to go when the case goes to hearing. I was curious, did anybody ever contact you? Did you find someone that you know could call upon as an expert witness, or is that something you still need from the industry?
No, we didn't have any takers on that one.
Okay. So I suppose I'll just throw this out to the public that are listening on this call. And I guess I should ask, Reed, is that something you still feel you need, or has the time passed?
Well, I don't. Adam, this is the Fidelity case. Is that right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's coming up in June. It probably still wouldn't hurt, but we just sort of gave up, I think.
Okay.
If someone's interested in jumping in, we'll put that person in touch with our lawyer and see if we can work something out. That'd be great.
Okay. Just as maybe a note to the public then on this call, if any of you feel that you would want to provide those services to the insurance department, it appears that's still something that may be needed.
Reed, is there a reason?
I don't know if you're getting any takers there or not, but.
Is there a reason you couldn't use, like, Chase or myself, or do you need somebody that's not on the commission?
No, we could use either of you. I don't know what. There may be some concerns about, you know, testifying against one of your co, you know,
underwriters
who's in the city. Yeah, or something like that. And so it just involves an agent case. And I understand if people aren't comfortable with that. But, yeah, I think if we had somebody who could just talk about the importance of that rule, I think that would go a long way.
Okay. Well, I don't know who your underwriters are, but
Well, if anybody's interested in exploring it, you don't have to commit right up front. You could at least say, hey, let's talk about it and let me find out more about it. And we'd be happy to to explore it with you.
Yeah.
And then you can see if it works or doesn't.
Yeah. As I understand, what you need is basically just somebody, should it go to any kind of a hearing, this is just somebody who from within the industry can simply explain to others why that rule matters. It's not a...
You're
not looking for anything else there. There's no... It's not like you're not looking for somebody to get involved in the middle of the case or anything. Just expert witnesses just simply gives an explanation of why the rule matters and limited to that narrow scope, and that's it. So...
Yeah, we wouldn't be asking you to take shots at or anything like that. You just say, hey, here's the rule, and here's why we have it, and this is why it's important. And I think that would be all we'd need.
Well, I'll just throw that back out there one more time. Then, just for anybody who's listening, if that's something you feel like you would be willing to help Reed with, just throw that stuff out there and reach out to him. Reed, what's the best way for anybody? What would be your preferred way that you want them to just call in into the office number there and ask for you, or shoot you an email?
An email, rmstringham@utah.gov. Okay. And I'd be happy to talk with anybody. And Chase, thank you for raising that again. We sort of gave up, and now maybe there's some new life been injected into this. Subject. Thank you very much.
I know I myself sometimes get stuck in the rut of thinking somebody else is going to help, and so.
Oh, sure.
Hopefully somebody will be able to respond for you. So, and I'd be happy to call and talk with you privately about that as well, if it is something I can help with. But I.
Oh, great.
Feel like it might be best. I might think that it might be best for somebody not on the commission, but if that's where it needs to go, I'd be happy to do that. So.
Okay.
Yeah. And Reed, same, if like Chase said, if strategically it's better off the commission, that's fine. If it's better on, I can help, whatever you think, so.
Thank you, Allison. That's wonderful. Thank you.
And then nothing further for me, Nancy.
Okay, thank you, Chase, for bringing that up. We did need to get some closure on that and get some assistance. For Reed, let's move on to other business. Update on department's processes during COVID. Reed, we turn it over to you.
Yeah, everybody but our receptionist is teleworking. We will be, as we understand it, at least right now through June 5th. That, of course, could change at any time. You've heard about the temporary license efforts, change that we made. Adam will still be doing audits, but he used to do them in person. He won't be doing that now. And then for any hearings before our administrative law judge, those will be conducted by telephone. Those are the changes that we've made since this whole COVID-19 thing has come up.
Okay, great. And everyone's healthy?
Yes, as far as I know.
Good. Thank you, Reed. Adam, an update on the title report.
Good morning. The annual title report, I did get a lot of phone calls because a lot of agencies couldn't believe that we went to a one-page form, which generated a lot of calls, but everybody was pretty happy with the one-page form, except for a couple of accountants. I had a couple of accountants that called me that didn't like the idea, but we have 171 title agencies now, and 151 filed their annual report. I still have 20 that haven't contacted me or filed their annual report, but those 20 will be hearing from me this week.
Perfect. That's good to know. Yeah.
How do those numbers compare to years past, Adam, with people dragging their feet and getting the reports in? Do you feel like it's more this year because of COVID and people might have missed the deadline for that reason, or do you feel like it's lower than normal?
No, it's about the same. And once I get the report from, we have another person in the office that's doing the report. Once I get that finalized report, then I'll know. And I usually put a comment on the record if I contact them in previous years. But our numbers went up. We used to have like 160. We've gained about probably 11 or 12 title agencies over the last year. So that number's gone up. But 20 is about the average. That's better than the past. I think last year we had probably 45 that didn't reply letting in. So actually you're better off this year, maybe being at home.
Okay.
Has helped. So.
Yeah, but I'd say that's an improvement. Maybe people are able to focus on it a little more instead of the other way around.
Well, I think the one-page report helps, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I imagine so.
We had a, this is Nancy, we had a few incredulous agents when we sent the report over to them. So I am sure you made a few people happy, but that's great to know. And just 20, and Adam, I'm really glad you're going to contact them. That is something that, I think it was a while ago, but there were agents that just said they didn't know. You know, the rest of us, that's hard to understand, but I'm glad that that's part of your process to reach out to them and to see what's going on. So thank you. I don't have any hot topics for this call. So I think we will, unless there's any other questions or comments from anyone, I think we'll move to adjourn. Our next meeting is June 8th. If it's held, it's not one of our required meetings. But the next meeting, if we decide it needs to be held, if the department decides, will be June 8th in the copper room or by teleconference. And let's see, Steve, did we go long enough that we need to do another roll call?
We do if
let's
you want to.
If there's anybody else out there.
If you want to extend it about 7 minutes, we could do CE.
If you guys could find 7 more minutes to chat about some really good title stuff, we can do this. Because it's not a race.
This is Commissioner Kaiser. I'll jump in just for 1 minute. There's not a lot that I would like to say, but I think the first thing that I would like to do is compliment the Title and Escrow Commission for holding the meetings and exploring this new venue that we're learning so much about, virtual meetings, and but I appreciate, I know this was a meeting that we were supposed to hold in real time, and we couldn't because of circumstances, so your willingness to hold it virtually and over the phone systems, I really appreciate your working with the department in this manner. And to my team, we're functioning at a different level, and it's unique and interesting for so many of us to be out of the office teleworking. And I just want to thank them for getting the work done. And, you know, particularly to Steve, to Adam and Reed, Tracy, Perry, I appreciate that we can function at this level and get things done. And to Randy, all that Randy and Reed have done to accommodate temporary licensing, it's we've had a lot of requests for that. And I got a letter this morning from one of the national lobbyists expressing appreciation. It was almost a form letter, but it wasn't. It was written specifically to me, but could have been a form letter to come to different commissioners or directors that have allowed for temporary licensing. But there is a high demand. We are getting requests all the time for licensing, and I appreciate Reed and Randy working through the details to allow for temporary licensing. We are not at this point, and it wasn't really discussed, but we, and Randy, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but we're not allowing for non-resident temporary licensing at this time, which could present some issues. And one of the reasons for that is because we have no way of doing really a background check on somebody from Nebraska or California. If we have a resident license, then we can go to the court systems and we feel somewhat comfortable that we can verify, you know, a criminal history. But they could be in the state for only 1 year and we may not be able to really get a good look at a background check. So that is a concern that we have. But for that reason, we're not allowing non-residents. And just to jump on, and we may have to change our position with Prometrics because I hadn't realized until last week that Prometrics, and Randy brought this up in his discussion, is that you may be a week or two or a month or 2 months to get in line, to get out, and to actually take the test. And so we may have to allow some type of exception for you to get in, take the test, and then we'll work on the details with background fingerprinting and everything else. We didn't realize when we were going through the temporary licensing that that there would be, could be, and that I guess we could say that there is a tremendous backlog on these testing. So it might be that we'll have to work with Prometrics to work something out. I'm not sure what we'll do, but if there really is a backlog and it's taking a month to take the test, you know, we might have to take into consideration the backlog as we move forward with testing. But and the Michael Covington, they're working on continuing yet. I get requests, you know, weekly on from somebody, from Matt Childs, from different agencies on continuing yet. What are we doing? What are we allowing? There are a lot of questions about continuing yet, about licensing. And to my staff, I just want to say thank you. I appreciate the work that you're doing. It is unusual for us not to be, you know, housed in an office together and to all be out teleworking. And sometimes I wonder if the communications breaks down. But, you know, we've had really good working with our teams and Tracy. And so I just wanted to tell them thank you because I wouldn't have guessed it would have been this smooth. But to each of you on my team, work that you're doing, I really appreciate what you're doing and how you're accomplishing your workload. But thanks, Nancy, for giving me a minute.
Oh, absolutely. We appreciate that you would get on these calls, you know, and that's important to us to have your support. Has the department received any calls about remote notaries? Have you had to field any, and I'm throwing that out to anyone in the department, with all of the talk about remote notaries and online closings, how has that affected you, if at all?
I think I'll turn that over to Reed, but the state legislature, I think 2 years ago, allowed for electronic notary public. Am I correct in that, Reed?
Yes. Yeah, we haven't had anything come up concerning that, Nancy. Adam, you haven't heard anything, have you?
No, I just refer them back to the RONS Act, that RONS Act.
Right. It wasn't that I think they all know it's in place. I just wondered if you'd been inundated with calls, with people trying to reach out to you, not knowing where to go. That was it. If your receptionist was getting a lot of calls, because we know agents were anxious to get on board with RON, and some of them become RON notaries themselves. And there is, you were talking, the commissioner was talking backlog. There's a real backlog with that. We just didn't know if that affected the department at all. So that's great.
No, it hasn't.
Didn't.
Nancy? Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Can I say something?
Yes. Sure.
We have found out that some of the underwriters, or I would say underwriters or whoever, are not accepting that at this point of time. Albert Moore is getting on board. I think Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae has gotten on board with that, from my understanding. Correct me if I'm wrong, but that is my understanding. There's two of us here at Backman that have requested, submitted our application, and we're waiting to hear back on our mobile notary designation.
Oh, good. Good.
You guys, this is Darla. Sorry, Nancy, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Darla.
Fannie and Freddie have adopted the remote online notary. They've got quite a few requirements, but I found that not very many lenders, I mean, we're able to do it with sellers, but I found that there's only maybe four or five lenders who can do the remote online notary because there's a requirement for an e-note certification to come from mortgage electronic registration systems that, because this whole situation wasn't really necessarily expected, none of the lenders really have that certification yet for the notes. And so there's a lot of hybrid closings that are being done now, but you're right, Allison. I'm sorry. Who was that? Was just speaking?
Carol.
Oh, Carol, you're right. Fannie and Freddie have completely adopted it. To my knowledge, I checked with a couple of lenders. Apparently, it's fairly difficult to get this e-note certification. So I don't know how soon that would become commonplace in the market. Have you seen a lot of closings, Carol?
No, we haven't. But we're, of course, anticipating them because of Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae. But
yeah,
that's exactly what we've understood, is that a lot of the lenders haven't been on board.
Right.
So we're just waiting.
Okay. This,
and Nancy, this is...
Go ahead.
This is Jeff with Older Public Title. I think the question that arises, I agree with Carol and Darla. I think that's spot on as far as what we're seeing with Ron's today. I think the issues that we're hearing about, and Nancy, perhaps why you were asking if it's being brought up with the Department of Insurance, is if we're altering the RON statutes to accompany what's now being referred to as RINs or other forms, even using Zoom, which may be permissible in some jurisdictions like New York, where they have emergency orders. And so I think that's becoming a rising question, and it doesn't sound like the department has received any, but that's the caution that needs to be out there. Is RON's approved, if a lender can perform a RON, it's the other variations that perhaps are not acceptable based on Utah law.
Yeah, Jeff, we did get an email regarding that, and I don't remember where it was forwarded to us from the president of our company, but it did state that there has been violations based on the notary requirements as far as the presence of the notary and the signer, and because of COVID. So, you know, to be aware of what the state guidelines are, is that we can't do Zoom. So in any event, we have to see the people actually physically sign these documents. But apparently there's been situations that's not happening.
And Tracy, that came to the attention of the ULTA, and they immediately put out a bulletin to all members, letting them know that they needed to follow Utah laws and statutes, because, you know, people can listen to webinars that are put on in another state, and they're trying to glean and learn about RON in this COVID pandemic, and they don't realize that some of the things being said are state-specific. And so the ULTA did jump on and immediately do that. I'm pretty sure it was written by James Seaman telling people that they needed to stick with Utah guidelines. Okay, if there is nothing else, we have gone over 50 minutes. Is there anyone who does want CE for this meeting and did not get their name on the roll call at the first of the meeting?
Nancy, it's Michael. Can I add one more thing real quick about the classes?
Sure.
People have been emailing me asking me if they have to refile their current classroom courses to get them approved as webinar, and the answer is no. You can use the same course number, which is nice. It's just a matter of how you enter the offering in Circon. So at least nothing has changed in that. You can just use your same course number and your same outline. That saves a little bit of time for everybody.
Okay, not new. Thank you, Michael. That's really handy. Okay, if there is nothing else, we will adjourn this meeting. And the next meeting, like I said, on the docket is June 8th in the copper room or by teleconferencing. Thanks to everyone else. We have a motion to adjourn the meeting.
This is Darla. I motion to adjourn.
This is Allison. I'll second.
Okay, I'll second.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.
Have a wonderful Monday.
Bye.